Welcome to Jesus Centric Life. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh, and today we're talking about resting and serving and finding Jesus in both. So, Pastor, first, could you define what we mean today when we talk about each of the words, rest and serving?
Yeah, absolutely. So we can start out by talking a little bit about rest. And I think just to maybe a compare and contrast, when we say rest in the world, that kind of means maybe you sit and do not much, right?
Take like, a nap.
Yeah, I take a nap, or I read a book, or I watch TV, or I play video games. And there's great value in that. I think there's nothing wrong with resting in a worldly way, right? Mm-hmm. But I think when we say rest as Christians, it's not resting in your lack of doing or doing something that's restful, but it's rather a rest in Jesus. So we see the disciples in Mark, this is Mark 6:31, Jesus says, come with me, and the with me is key, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And so he invites them to rest. It's this being with Jesus in a restful way, being filled with Jesus. And that doesn't mean kind of that I rest to escape the world,
right,
and to be by myself, but I rest, I escape kind of the distractions of my doing or distractions of the world to rest in Jesus.
Now, I've been one to resist this. I mean, as Thomas has talked about, he did that in a few podcasts ago, mm-hmm. and we've talked about it on staff. I get a little resistant because to me, it can sound maybe a little lazy, maybe a little not as, oh, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to serve.
Yeah.
That's not what you're talking about.
No. And I think probably it's helpful to remember that there's a little bit of a generational baggage around this idea of rest. Like boomers and Gen Xers, your generation was like, work hard, make yourself accomplished. And the millennials came in and they said, no, self-care isn't a question, it's a necessity.
Right.
And in a way, there's value in that.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, it is sometimes that my generation and the next generation almost use self-care as an excuse to be lazy, to, well, we have terms, I don't think your generation had these terms, now they use them, but binge watch.
No.
Scroll.
Right.
Of maybe veg out. Did you use that sometimes?
Yeah, I think we did. But we, ours rest or was very, there was nothing that really we did during it. Now it's almost like a distraction, or it's like
escapism.
I'm doing four other things while I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on a video game as I'm scrolling, as I'm listening to a podcast.
Yeah. And I think even like, so your generation, and I promise we won't be all about generations today.
No, it's good.
But I think your generation kind of said, we're going to veg out once in a while. We're going to do the self-care. We're going to go get counseling sometimes because so that we can come back stronger and better. And my said, no, this is a necessity of life. I kind of work so that I get the chance to escape, the chance to self-care the same. And so like work for us becomes not, sometimes can become something that I do in order to live a balanced life because I have to make money. And so I think some of that's actually incorrect biblically, because the Bible teaches us to, for instance, to work hard with your hands as if serving the Lord, not men. And so like we should take very seriously and have great passion for our work, and not just work so that I get the opportunity to escape and rest and veg out and scroll and whatever.
Right.
And so I think rest sometimes gets a bad rap, but the difference I'm saying is that as Christians, we find opportunities to rest in Jesus. We abide in him in order that we can be a part of his mission. But yet to not miss that maybe one of the greatest things we get the opportunity to do is to sink richly and deeply into the grace of Jesus. And so if I neglect the rest entirely, if I neglect that time with Jesus entirely, then I'm missing out on his greatest gift.
Yeah, I like looking at the generations because I think we have a lot to learn. I mean, we have basically three generations here with myself and you and Thomas.
Yeah.
And I have resisted this thing of rest because in my mind, rest was something like if I was sick, I had to do, right?
Yeah.
And with Thomas bringing it up and talking more about resting in Jesus, I think you defining it that way helps me to get my head around it a little bit more, that it's not a bad thing. It's a really positive thing.
Yeah.
And Jesus set that example. I mean, when after the, was it feeding of the 5,000, he went alone to be with his Father and to rest in him.
Yeah.
And that's an example that we can follow.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, is that I go by myself so that I can rest in Jesus,
right?
Not so I can escape, right? And I know that's a very fine line, and sometimes how it's perceived by the outside world isn't as important as how you're approaching it. And so, like, I'm less concerned about, well, do other people think I'm lazy, or, you know, am I keeping the proper, am I having the passion to take the time to rest in Jesus? Because again, and Jesus says this is John 15:5, whoever abides in me and I am him, he it is that bears much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing, right? That our doing, what we accomplish, our ministry, our serving that we'll get to in a moment, because we really haven't touched on that yet, the other half of this, but that only happens when we're abiding in him.
Right.
That we can't actually do the serving or the ministry we're called to do unless we're abiding in him. And so this reality of this abiding really needs to be, this resting needs to be forefront on our mind.
So if I'm calibrating my life, right, I'm trying to get it all lined up. And I know that I'm lacking a little bit in that abiding with Jesus. Mm. I'm all in for the serving, you know, but sometimes I can find my identity there.
Yeah.
So I've got to recalibrate. And there is a place for days I'm just a little, I want to go play golf or I want to play video games. Mm. And yeah, I play video games. Don't judge me. But there's also a place for that. And gardening and those things. And that's Sabbath, which we're going to talk about in our next episode.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot there. And I think the way, and we can use the word balance there, that I want to be balanced. Like if you're simply striving and simply doing and you use the mantra, well, Satan never takes a break, so I shouldn't, right? Like, you know, that's kind of,
I've never used that mantra, but.
Well, and I've actually heard pastors that do.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of silly because it's like, well, are we supposed to emulate Satan or Jesus, right? And so Jesus took a break, so I guess we can. But I think the thing that I want to say, when you look at your rest, some people need to be told you're resting too much in yourself or in video games. You're maybe being a little lazy. And some people need to be told, no, you need to slow down. And it's not a one size fits all, because my guess is most of us lack balance, and most of us are either good at resting or good at striving. And we're not good at both. And so depending on who you are, you need to be told a different thing.
Yeah, sometimes you have this thing that you say. You say our strength can also have a dark side to it. So I think that this is one of those times where we could look at that. For me, it's being in ministry. It's being active in ministry. Mm-hmm. But the dark side of that could be that I don't take that time to abide and to rest and to be with Jesus, just to be in his presence.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. And I think all of us, we tend toward one or the other, and the good part of balance we lack. Like, but the way I think about it, Ken, we should be passionate to rest in Jesus. We should be passionate for the work that he's given us to do. And how do we have both those passions? Because they should be able to exist simultaneously. We see Jesus being passionate about doing ministry and loving people and caring for people.
Yeah.
But we also see him being very passionate about getting away and being with his Father. And so how do we have both those passions?
For sure. Now, there's a word that in this that you're kind of playing with right now, uh-huh. and it's that word serving. Yeah. So you've heard us a little bit already struggling with ministry. I always yep. want to say mission. Ministry versus serving. Talk a little bit about why you like ministry rather than the word serving.
Yeah, and it actually comes out of Ephesians. So as this is being recorded, we're having a sermon series on Ephesians. And so the reality of that is in Ephesians, Paul says this. He says, this is Ephesians 4, 11, 12. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So he gave these people, these leaders, and I might contextualize it to church workers. So he gave professional church workers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so I think in this, Paul makes it really clear that if you are a Christian, you're called to ministry.
Right.
Now, not to necessarily professional ministry. And when I say professional ministry, I mean that I support my family by doing ministry, which is has its challenges, but also is a great gift. Like it is kind of, you know, it's just different. Let's just say it that way. It's just different
Correct.
Than what the average person experiences. And so I'm called to do that. But everybody's called to ministry. And when I say ministry, I think what I mean, and this is new, so I'm playing with it.
I can play pickleball, but I'm not a professional pickleball
player.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You're kind of just a pickler, right? Like, I don't know if that's a thing, but we'll ask Deb, see if that's a thing.
Right.
But this is what ministry is for me. It's how do we love? That is, how do we care for the people around us?
Yes.
How do we equip? How do we teach people God's truth? How to be more like Jesus and how to follow Jesus?
Right.
And finally, how do we go? How do we share the gospel with people that don't know? And so that's really what, contextually for us, that's what I mean by ministry. How you're caring for the people around you,
right.
how you're building up the body of Christ, and how you're telling others about Jesus.
Well, and it sounds, I like it better than the word serve, because serve is almost like we're filling gaps,
yeah.
right? Hey, will you serve on this team?
Yeah.
Will you? And when we're in ministry, there's more of an intentionality with our giftedness, with who you are,
yeah.
And where you are. As I do these
yeah.
meetups, I'm finding out that the picture I had for how we're going to embrace our community is way different than what God is unfolding.
Yeah.
And he's unfolding it in with people's passion and their hearts and their giftedness
yeah.
for the community, for what they like to do.
Yeah.
And so we see car shows, right? We're doing car shows, and we're finding, because it falls into people's giftedness, it falls into their passion, and we get to tell people about Jesus
yeah.
during it.
Yeah.
So when we're way more intentional at looking at this thing of ministry, it just opens up a whole new door for
yeah.
us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think both of us were really discipled, I think, out of a culture that, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but like a culture of, we have church staff so that we can do ministry.
Right.
Right. And I think what I want to embrace, and I think your genius in, you know, our, with our membership and how we're doing, is we want to see how do we equip and support you to do ministry.
Right.
And I think that's just the right approach.
Right where God has planted you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because at some level, the mom who's raising her kids and is super busy up to her eyeballs should be applauded and say, how do we equip you to continue to do this ministry? Not, how do we get you plugged in so that you can do something, serve for us?
Right.
Now, again, the hope is that like her and her kids can serve together. And I love that Sarah's done that with our kids, my wife. But like, I think there's a value in serving with your kids in ministry at your church.
Right.
But like, the mom that's up to your eyeballs raising kids shouldn't feel like she has to connect. We should find a way to equip her to do the ministry, because being a mom and teaching your kids about Jesus is ministry.
Right. Right. Sarah's got just such a great way of doing it. She has a heart for moms with new babies, and she wants them to find their full potential. And I know she's done this even with my daughter-in-law of, how can I support you? How can I walk with you? And that right there is taking her passion, her giftedness,
yeah.
and setting her free
yeah.
to do the ministry that God wants her to do.
Correct.
Right where he has her.
Yeah.
Even though she's up to her eyeballs and a busy mom,
yeah.
it's right where he
yeah.
has her.
Yeah. And I think that's really valuable to find where your passion and gift are and how you can serve more people and not neglect your kids in the process of it. And I think that's a balance that, that some people can find. I think some people can find that right balance between doing some, but not doing too much that neglects your kids. And I think that's a hard one to walk, but, yeah.
And so we see both of them have their challenges, and both of them have things that really set us free to be who God's called us to be, where He's called us to be.
Yeah.
So what do you think we've misunderstood? Well, I feel like we've talked about that, what we've misunderstood about both. So how do you personally recognize when you're escaping instead of truly resting in Jesus? Let's kind of go back to the rest piece. How do we recognize when I'm escaping and when I'm truly resting?
So I think there's a few things that we can look at. One is you can evaluate it after the fact. So like there's a difference for me when I'm scrolling on my phone or playing games on my phone and when I go out to my garden. Now, sometimes I do need to be on the couch and not moving. There's value in that. But there's a different type of rest and rejuvenation. And I think you notice it less when you you're in the midst of it and more the next day, right? Did the way that I rested the day before leave me where I'm ready for the next day, or am I dreading the next day? And I think those are things to pay attention to. And again, you might have seasons of work or seasons of life where they're just harder. And so that doesn't necessarily shine through. But when you're in a healthy place, is the way you're resting, is it getting you ready for the next day, or is it leaving you where you're more tired than you were before? I think there's a point where, and not necessarily physically tired, but spiritually and emotionally,
right.
Like, I think those are things that are hard, that we got to pay attention to.
So that when you're going to that place of ministry, is it about me? Am I looking at it through healthy lenses? Am I looking for gratification? Way to go, yeah. Donna. Or am I truly submitting to Him and what He's doing? Because if I'm living in that sweet spot of balance, then each kind of leans into the other, right? I want to abide. I want to spend that time alone with Him, so to be refilled so that I'm healthy as I serve.
Yeah, and I think you and I just, and it was really cool that we did it that way, but you and I just talked about the difference of rest and ministry, because you talked about, so the sign I was talking about, rest, our sign that you're resting wrong and escaping, is that you go back the next day not ready for it. You're escaping. That's one of the reasons why you're not ready for the next day. You haven't rested in Jesus. You've escaped.
Right.
But then you jump to, and I thought it was good, you jump to when I'm serving. So when you go out and serving and you're not resting well, what you're going to notice in your serving is I'm serving to get my value. I'm serving to get people to notice me. I'm serving to accomplish. And all of those things, why are you serving? You're serving for yourself, right? You're not serving for Jesus. When you serve to get your value or serve to get accomplishments or serve to get an attaboy, you're not serving for Jesus, you're serving for yourself. And that's a big red flag that you're not resting in Jesus and deriving your value from Him. You're finding your value in what you're doing for Him, which is sometimes a problem for us as humans, especially those who are wired to work. Like, it's really easy for you to say, well, I matter today because I got these to-do list items checked off.
Right.
You matter today because Jesus loves you. And
you hear that when you abide
in
Him.
And again, the other thing I don't want to do in this whole, like, Jesus-centered life is, like, these are tools in your tool belt to help you do this better.
Right.
These are not buttons you push
right.
to get to the place that you want to be. And so I don't want to make it seem like, oh, I went and rested. Now I'm going to be fine. No, the world is difficult. In the world, you will have troubles.
Right.
But in me, you have peace. That's Jesus, right? And so I want to make sure these are tools for you to understand yourself and your walk with Jesus better, not buttons to push to correct your life.
Yeah, I always used to say to students, you're not Rocky. You're not like running up the steps to do the victory dance yeah. or whatever. That could be a generational word picture
yeah, I know,
there.
I know Rocky. But
okay,
yeah.
good. But you're not striving to be the perfect Christian. You are on journey. And these, like you said, are yeah. the tools or the things that we have in our backpack that help us as we continue to grow. And that is going to be forever on this side of heaven.
Yeah.
We get to grow. We get to be challenged. And we're chewing on this, mm-hmm. too, as a staff, this
yeah.
whole rest and how do I
yeah.
do I live in that sweet spot of rest and, mm-hmm. and ministry?
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and it's just fascinating because the Bible come, you know, Jesus says in Mark 6, come to me by yourselves to a quiet place and you will get some rest. And then Paul says in Romans 12, never be lazy, but work hard mm-hmm. and serve the Lord with enthusiasm, right? What does it look like for us to juxtapose those things? And so what I know biblically is that rest is important and ministry is important. What I know is rest is important and work is important. I know those two things, but how do we find the balance, or how do we make sure that we have equal passions for both of them and that we're doing equal things to make sure we find that? Because rest isn't just... rest isn't just I'm going to rest, let's go. Like, there has to be some intentionality around it. There has to be some sometimes planning and preparation. There has to be some rhythms and some spiritual discipline, which is weird too.
Right.
Because we're saying rest, but you got to, it's almost like planning a vacation. It takes a little work to get there. I think rest can be one of those things.
And there's many ways, and we'll probably talk about that more in the
yeah.
future of what are those ways.
Yeah.
So what would change in the church if we learned that sweet spot of ministry and rest? Like, how do you think that would change us? How do you think it would change the church?
Well, I think we'd be more like Jesus, so I think that's a win.
Right.
I think... it's going to be different for different people. Like, I think those of you who are good at doing in ministry, I think, and again, this is from John, abide in me and I in him, and it is he that will bear much fruit. I think those of you who are striving and doing, you actually find yourself being more productive when you begin to find these rhythms of rest, I think, biblically.
Because that's where the good fruit comes from.
Yeah.
It's not just fruit. It
yeah.
can be good fruit.
And much fruit. Like
yeah.
he says much there,
right.
like more, like, and again, like I can hear that as somebody who loves to work, as well, the way that I accomplish more for Jesus and I make more success for myself is by resting in him. And that's not the way that I want you to look at it. I want you to let's just be bold and courageous about being restful. And those of you who maybe, as Paul used the word lazy, those of you who are being a little lazy or escaping a little more, I think by doing, you're going to actually find that you need Jesus more than you did before.
Yeah.
And you're going to actually grow in your rest in Jesus by resting or
yeah.
by actually doing something. You're going to find, you know, the depth and richness of Jesus' grace is more than you thought it was.
Yeah. These are concepts that lean into each other.
Yeah.
Not are separate and live apart
yeah.
from each other.
Yeah. They're very interconnected in a way that I'm not sure we can fully understand. But I think we'd have more fruit and we'd have more abiding in Jesus, and that would be a good thing.
Mm. I love it. Love our discussion today. I'm going to go take a break so I can go abide. So get ready for more. But now, thank you so much, Pastor. And thank you for joining us today.